Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to the 2018 Candidacy Preparatory Training for Ordination and Consecration and Elevation. We are glad that you have tuned in on July 12th. We're almost 1 month away from that glorious sacred ceremony where the Lord will confer on us and present us to the world as he has called us from birth to walk in his plan. And as your yes has come forth and your preparation is in full gear, we're excited that the consecration now is preparing us spiritually in a special way for this particular service and sacred gathering. So we do pray that you have taken care of the paperwork for things, your registration, your hotel room. We pray that you've gotten your garments in line and you're prepared with your garments. We have been receiving your fulfillment of your written requirements, and it's very profound. You are an awesome class of the scholars of the Word of God. And so we praise God for it. I see many documents coming forth from this class to establish teaching tools for leaders going forward. Many of you have labored in line without recognition and without title. However, God was always aware of you and what you have done, and he is honoring you. He is exalting you as he is presenting you as to the calling on your life that he has ordained in you. So I am excited. I am humbled that I can be a part of this process. I am grateful that as we're coming to the day, the excitement is building and the warfare also is building, but it should, because you are in preparation of changing hell by revealing its enemy, its weakness, and conquering it through the word and the life of a committed, uncompromised leader in the kingdom. So we praise God for you, and we ask that one of our men of God will open us up in prayer so that we can get started on today's offering. I'm currently putting everyone on speaker, so you can take your phone off mute, and then we will be able to hear you. It really is important that we kind of call in a little ahead of time, because it takes a while to take, like, people off of mute and put you on speaker. And so oftentimes the men of God are on the line, but their phones haven't been adjusted. And then we have to remember this is technology. We thank God for technology, but we also have to abide by some of the limits and restrictions of technology. And it takes about 5 seconds, 5-6 seconds for what you do to be affected here, or what I do or say to reach you. And so at this point, everybody is getting off speaker. I mean, off of mute. And, oh, geez. Praise the Lord. We all kind of popped on. Appreciate the sacrifice that many of you are making, because you're still at your workplace or in areas of prior obligations, and you do have to govern yourself accordingly. So I do ask, if there is a male man of God on the line, if you can open us up in prayer. I know I have some of my numbers on here. It's not releasing you to go. So don't be discouraged if you're talking and we don't hear you. Sure, what our technology is doing. However, we will not be. It will be something. If it's just affecting all of the males. The enemy is busy. But then he always is. He's always on his job. So we, you know, we will just ask if our apostle would just open us up in a word of prayer.
Did you say the apostle or any apostle?
Oh, well, I was saying the apostle. Thank you so much, apostle, because as apostle said, there's always a male. So we will be open up in prayer. Amen. Amen.
All right. Father God, in the name of Jesus, bless this meeting and all of its people. So we do your will.
Your way.
Your way.
In your time.
In your time.
And in your power.
And in your power.
And by the Spirit.
And by the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you,
wow.
Brother Timothy.
Amen.
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 We will get started. God always has a ram in the bush.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He will always have.
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God.
Amen. So we thank God for that. And so we're opening this evening up with our presentation. You're on the line and you have presentations up. Who is on up for presentation today?
Sharon Jones.
Amen. All right. So we have Apostle Overton and Lady Sharon presenting to us.
Yes.
It's in your hands.
Okay. I was going to introduce Lady Sharon, if that be all right. Okay. I wanted to start off in regards to Lady Sharon Jones, as just being not just a pleasure to serve with, but she is such a humble person, and it makes it very easy to relate to her, talk with her. I can't even say correct her, because I believe that God has positioned us on our weekly calls that we both end up getting checked by Holy Spirit. So we find ourselves, the reproof and the rebuke comes from God, and we both get corrected. We are able to share all of that over the phone and be transparent, never anyone embarrassing the other one or trying to belittle the other one. I'm just excited
excited for her journey. I am excited for her gifting anointing that God has placed in her, especially for youth, a youth teacher, how she's been working with youth. I believe since being in the church, she's always taken on the cradle role or the toddler role, just working with what we can no longer call, you know, leadership of tomorrow. They're the leaders of today because that's how long she's been serving with them and under them. So I'm delighted for her to come forth on tonight out of Genesis 32. And I'm not going to keep on talking, but I'm just going to allow Holy Spirit to let her go forth with her theme of wrestling, Genesis 32:22.
All right, good evening, everyone. I'm going to read Genesis 32:20 through 22 through 27, because that kind of sums up the wrestling portion. It says, and this is, let me make sure this is the, this is coming from the NIV. It says, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip, so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. Then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go until you bless me." Just to start off, and this is not even in my notes, Lord, already shifting stuff. I've had one major wrestling with the Lord some years ago, and nobody was in the house but me and the Lord, and we were struggling, and I was hot and mad, but I was not letting him go until he blessed me, until he changed me, until he shifted me. And I think that was a recycling of him becoming more real in my life. So my question is, what will you do when you prepare to meet or know that you're going to see the one person whose life you altered because of your greed, your selfishness, your sinfulness? And then now your life has changed. You have been forgiven by the Lord. You are not the same person you were when you offended the other person. This meeting has been on your mind for a long time. You don't know how the other person will respond. Will they take revenge? Will they wipe you out and all that you have out? Has their life changed like yours did? What do you do? Do you try to replace what they lost because of your callous acts? Do you beg for forgiveness? The unknown, unforeseen can cause headaches, heartaches, and anxiety, and sometimes even worry. According to Philippians 4:6, which says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." So we need to really and truly, we need to pray. And sometimes we need to remember the God of the promises in the Bible, in the word that we study. When we pray, we find peace in him, peace in how the Lord is using us, although we may not feel worthy of him using or even choosing us. sometimes we waver about what to do, and sometimes we do what we feel is right or do what we would want done to us if we have been offended, so that we can gain forgiveness from that person. So sometimes when you have exhausted all efforts and ideas, you turn again to the Lord, this time not only just to pray a lighthearted prayer or repetitive, but you travail, you petition the Lord because you want an answer, not just any answer. You need the answer. You have to have it. You need it. And it is life-changing. And nothing will be better for you until it is answered. Your prayer, you pray and you fast, and you fast and you pray. You know that the Lord has the answer. We need to believe like Jacob believed when he was wrestling the man in the night and not giving up until we are blessed. What are you wrestling with? Let me repeat that. What are you wrestling with God about or for? So let's go back a little bit. In the earlier scriptures in chapter 32 of Genesis, it says Jacob was praying. But he prayed that God is the God of Abraham and God is the God of Jacob. But he never said that you're my God. You're the God of Abraham and Isaac. But he never said that you're the God of Jacob. So it was not until Jacob had to make some tough decisions, a very personal struggle that would not only affect his life, but the life of those in God's promise to Jacob. Jacob had superficial faith, but after overcoming the struggle, Jacob praised God for himself and developed a real relationship with the Lord that is unshakable. This struggle changed Jacob's life forever. According to James 1 and 12, it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. There is a blessing in the wrestling. There is a blessing in the struggle. Don't run from them. Stand the test and receive what the Lord desires to give you. Just think about your wrestling, your struggles, your trials, even your temptations. Did you hold to God for dear life until that thing was shaken, delivered, and answered, or even moved? What are you wrestling with God for?
Man, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, do we have any questions for Lady Sharon? Is Prophet on the line? Okay, because we wanted to remember that prophetically this is the word that the Lord gave the prophet for this class. And I pray that as you look into these three elements of walking, wrestling, and worthy, you will see yourself in that process at some point, or you will be able to identify when you were at that place and the place that you're at now. And so I would like to ask, because the whole focus of this prophetic word is there is and Israel in Jacob. So, Lady Sharon, What is God bringing out of you that you wrestled with him about? And where would you be in this process of wrestling, walking, and or worthy?
I will confess that I probably, well, you know, I've been asked to do this twice. And this is the third time, actually. And the first two times, I did not want to do it. I did not think I was ready. I did not want to, I guess, to see myself. I did not want to be naked in front of God as I have been. And so during this wrestling, this walking, I have, God is shifting some things in me, mainly in my marriage, and having me to see from God's perspective, not Sharon's self-centered perspective. So that's a huge wrestle. And God, within the last, I would say, week or two, has shifted things, and God is changing some stuff. And again, as I have before, I am not letting go until I can see this completed. I do appreciate finally going through the process, receiving the title for what I've been doing for over 20 years. So it's just a blessing. And, you know, sometimes it's false humility to want to be recognized, but I'm learning to just receive what God has prepared for me.
Amen. 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 And I pray that that is the message that's going to settle some things in our spirit of anxieties and fears and concerns. This is the Lord's doing, and it was done while you were yet in the womb. Before foundation of the world, this he established for you. And though we're not seeking anything other than him and his will for our life, and so we do have to come to a point where we receive it humbly, because it is his doing, and it is not our own. And we can rest in that. And that becomes a very powerful place of ministry for any leader in God. When you know you're where and you're doing what he wants you to do, regardless of what it looks like, what people think, or how you feel. And so we do. We celebrate those that have come forth. That is really the end of our presentation for the prophetic word. Now, if there are those that want to, candidates that want to present on either of those three locations, you can text me and we'll schedule you. But that is the end of the scheduling for the prophetic works, the series. And I might say, if you want to hear it taken to another notch, tune in on Wednesday at Labors for Christ. And the apostle and the prophet are bringing this forth. Wow. That's all I can say about that. All right. So, any questions, comments, revelations from anyone? Okay. So now we will go into the elements of accountability. Is Elder Deborah on the line to bring us a little prefix of what this is supposed to be establishing with you? Elder Deborah? Uh-oh. She's probably talking.
Overseer.
And I don't have her. Yes, I know.
Can you hear
me? Yes,
can you hear me?
Probably talking.
Yeah.
Now I hear you. I am so sorry. Yes.
Okay. I was like, okay, I'm talking, but I wanted to say first, I definitely wanted to say, Lady Sharon, that was excellent. I was really blessed by that. And there was one point that, for me personally, that I had never really heard anybody kind of lift up, you know. And when you said the fact that before the event of wrestling, he hadn't, there was never the Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so it kind of made me think about the wrestling piece, you know, kind of like, I guess, and then it made me think about the worthy piece, because after he had done that and persevered, so to speak, you know, wrestled, then he was worthy. And now we say Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob just like it's always been. I never heard anybody ever lift that up. So I thank God for giving you that revelation, because it kind of took me in a whole different place. I'm like, ooh, we can go this way, we can go this way. So, yeah, so that it's like exegesis or eisegesis, depending on which way you want to, which side of the coin. But I've never heard anybody say that, so thank you for that. That was awesome just in bringing that out. It wasn't until he basically passed the test that now he was worthy. And, you know, we have that trilogy that we say, like I said, that it was there from the beginning. So, awesome, awesome.
Wow, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. Regarding the accountability overseer, it's just that we're asking that the accountability partner would introduce the candidate and set up the situation for the elements that they're discussing, but not talk about it. You know, we want the candidate to share what God has given them. I apologize because I don't have what the element is in front of me, but the fact that we want the candidate to be the one, you know, we want to hear their heart and what God has done during this process. But we do, obviously, we want to thank and we want to hear from the accountability partner as well, but we want the candidate to shine. God bless.
Amen. So today we have so today, for our element, we have Minister Sarah McFadden and her accountability partner on our warfare. Amen. Amen, lady.
Amen. Good evening, Overseer, and good evening, everyone. This is Emerging Elder Kamisha, and my apologies. I just received a message from Elder McFadden, whose daughter was just in a car accident. So she's not going to be able to present this evening on warfare.
No.
I'm sorry?
No. I'm on the line. No, the devil is a lie. I'm on the line.
Oh. All right. Well, then let's scratch that and let's get down to it. Well, good evening. I am Emerging Elder Kamisha Barrett, accountability partner to Elder Sarah McFadden, who is currently being elevated to the office of pastor. Elder McFadden is a determined woman of God, as you have just heard for yourselves, dedicated to becoming the change that she wants to see. And this is indicated in her personal life, in the marketplace, and throughout her walk with Christ, as she has shared that with me. Elder McFadden not only has never and has declared that she will never accept anything without first lining it up with the Word of God, which has been her safeguard through her life experience, as well as her duration of a current series of fiery trials and painful testing during this season of her elevation. So warfare is very befitting for the woman of God. She is currently a married mother of three and a proud grandmother as well. Elder McFadden has become well-rounded in ministry and was also licensed under the leadership of Apostle James E. Lattimore Sr. Through Holy Spirit Ministries International. Her training covers a myriad of things from the span of the marketplace to the CPS school system as an RM for over 20 years. And throughout the kingdom, she's also gifted in the classes for hermeneutics, homiletics, and she's also presented at the annual sexual healing retreat, as well as taught classes on relationships. So now, as she brings us the word on our warfare, coming out of 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 to 5, let it be stated on record that the enemy that thought he had her, especially in this season of elevation, I want you to understand just from her and I interacting, the enemy has come upon her flesh, stumbled, and fell flat on his face. So we would be afforded the opportunity to hear God minister through such an end-time vessel such as this. So now I present to you Elder Sarah McFadden as she speaks to us concerning our warfare.
Hallelujah, 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 saints. Oh, God, Father God, we thank you right now, Lord. We just thank you for such a time as this, God. We thank you for you being who you are, God, for your strength, for your power, and for your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. The scripture that I'm coming from with our warfare is 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. For we live in a world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine powers demolishing strongholds. We demolish arguments and every presentation that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make obedience to Christ. Often in situations in life, we think that attacks are coming against us personally. We want to act out our flesh because that's how we oftentimes think. But we have to remember, as the scripture instructs us and leads us, that there are three things that we have to think about. The first thing is that our warfare is not against flesh, and it should not and cannot be treated like flesh. In the world, when you see about a war, we are in this world, but we are not of this world, and we cannot act like the world would do. Before we go any further, I have to give the story that I had that just happened to me. I flew down from Chicago to Memphis to visit my daughter. My daughter drove from Mississippi to Memphis to get to pick me and my other children, my child up and my grandchild. Before she can make it to us, 10 minutes from the airport, the enemy attacked. She was in a car accident, but glory to God, the only damage was the car. And it shook me a little bit because here I am trying to get to her so that I can be prepared to be on the call. But I had to not go into the flesh. I had to go into the spirit. And I had to remember that as Romans 12:2 reminds us, that we do not have to conform to this world, but we have to have our minds transformed with the renewing of our minds, that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In this instance, I had to realize that even though my flesh was concerned with her, I had to still be on the focus about what is the things of God, not being wanted to have retaliation or anything like that, but to be able to say, thank you, Lord, that you had the angels block the car, that it was just a small dent. The second thing we need to keep in mind is that our warfare, our weapons are not natural, but are spiritual. In the natural, when there's a war, there's a plan of action, and this is also true in the spirit. In the natural battles, there are targets. Even more, in the spirit, strongholds are identified. If you have to look at the definition of a stronghold, it is a place that is being fortified as to protect it against attack, like a castle or a fort. Situations we often face over and over again in life, when we question those and the repeatedness of them, we have to realize that they are strongholds. But glory to God, this scripture and God being who he is, it lets us know that our weapons are from God and they're powerful to not just destroy, not just break up things, but to destroy them, to totally make them not useful. So we have that to be thankful for. The scripture actually uses the word demolishes, which is to put to end, to destroy. In the spiritual battle, the end result is to put an end to strongholds, which is a permanent act, and it does not require being repeated over and over again. The scripture also has a third point that we have to keep in mind, that we have a part to play. In the New King James Version, verse 5 of 2 Corinthians 10, it says, cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing those thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Christ. First, we have to understand with that our part is that we cast down, which is a forceful act, and it is defined to throw or hurdle. Anything that does not line up with the word of God, we have to cast that down. And then we have to have a knowledge of God. Joshua 1:8 says, the book of the law that departs shall not depart from our mouth, but we should meditate it on it day and night, that we may be obedient to do according to all that is written. For then we will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. The book of the law that Joshua refers to has been extended to us because we have the whole Bible. So we have to make sure that when we have stuff and we bring it into the obedience of God, that we know what the word says about any given situation, so that therefore we can be able to act according to the word and not according to what we would think or feel. The last part of our control, the controlling of our thoughts. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, wherever there are good reports, if there be any virtue, if there be any praiseworthy, meditate on these. We have to understand that our part of this is that we can't be spectators, but we have to be participators. We must have an active stance. We must cast those thoughts down and line them up with the word of God, and we have to continue to be mindful of what we're going through. And during this time in my life, because of my saying yes, I've had to be in warfare because so many things have come up. I've had death. I've had brain fog trying to do my questions. I've had, just like I just stated, the car accident. But the one glory that I have and the saving grace that I have is that God has made everything clear to me, and things that I need to get rid of and things that need to be moved out of my life have been made clear, and it's just been a beautiful journey. And I say that.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a testimony. And what an example of the stand of a leader when God is elevating you into the realm where it is spiritual first. And if our energies go toward that which is spiritual, it will strengthen that which is physical. So thank you so much. Any comments or questions for Minister Sarah? Elder Sarah? So sorry, Elder Sarah. Comments? Questions? Amen.
It was very encouraging.
I just want to say I salute you in that and going forth and not letting anything stop you. So all praises to God, and to God be the glory for your presentation tonight.
Amen.
Absolutely. Amen. Absolutely.
All right. We have some things that we want to start presenting to you in preparation of your ministry, of the unfolding of that which you're being elevated, consecrated, ordained, or licensed to. And one of the things that we want you to start looking at as you have defined what God has called you to, as you see the population of people that you're being sent to, you want to be able to present yourself We have some individuals on the line who have labored in their own ministry for some time, and labored in some ministries for some time, and they have established some things. And so we want to be able to pull on their experience in sharing with you some of the realities of going into ministry. We have, I don't know if you all know, but Pastor D'Altro Ford, who has been laboring in Step of Faith for decades and very successfully. So you have to come up with your vision and your mission, just like most of you have. Some of this is very new to you. Others, this isn't. We have them. We have some of your accountability partners that have their own ministries as well. You want to be able to represent your ministry to individuals. And one of the ways that you do that is by identifying graphically what you represent. And so there's a crest. You're going to want to have a letterhead that is going to be expressive of what your ministry is all about. There's your name. You want to come up with the name that the Lord has given you and then secure that name legally because it is something that has been given to you. So there are several things that you're going to have to start paying attention to honor that which God has given you. And it's being a good steward over what the Lord has given you. We have Bishop on the line, and he shared with you some time ago to invest in yourself. And so we're going to have him kind of summarize that this evening. And then we're going to send out the ministry press under which you're being ordained, elevated, and licensed under, with an explanation of each one of the elements in that press. And each one of them has a very specific foundational meaning. And what happens when you see it, when people see it, then it raises a standard. Just like when the army goes forth, the first people that are going forth are those that bear the flag. And so when they see, we'll just use America, the flag of the United States, the 50 states, and the red and white stripes, they represent something. And so will your press. You want it to represent the standard by which you are laboring for the kingdom. And so we have also what we get out of Scripture. We have elements of worship. Pastor Marlette will bring those elements of worship to us next week. And they also be taken into consideration when you are preparing your ministry to be presented to people. God is calling for us to stand up tall for him. And therefore, we want to be professionally, spiritually prepared to do so. So we do. We want to create. I want you to just start creating and getting elements that will represent the heart that you have for the ministry. Just as you're going to put the patches on your tippet as a indication of those things that you support with your life, and each one has been designed with a certain standard in mind, and that standard you wear upon your shoulders. And so these patches for the AEN will be available for you after your ordination, unless you have already been ordained or licensed by LFC AEN, in which case you can get them at the fellowship. They are $25 for the AEN ministry patch. And then those you can put on your tippet if you already have been ordained or licensed or elevated prior to this particular going forth. And so we want to be able to present holistically that which God has, is establishing in us. And so we want to, we want to ask the pastor the outro. When you came up with the name of your ministry, how did that come forth?
Hi, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yes, hi.
I was at a conference in Wheaton, Illinois, a women evangelistic conference, and the final session, the facilitator had all of us to stand and come forth and pick up a rock and take a step of faith. And as I picked up my rock and took the step of faith, Holy Spirit said, that will be the name of your ministry. And that's it. But it didn't come till, 4 years later? Yeah, 4 years later in 2003. And that was 99 when I went to the conference.
Yeah. Elder Young.
Yes. Good evening. So the name of the ministry that God has given me is Unleash the Fire Ministries. And the way that came about was I simply wanted to do a prayer conference. And, the Lord spoke to Apostle Shawnette and said, we can do the conference, but in the meantime, give me the name of your ministry. And so basically I just spent some time in prayer, and the Holy Spirit began to download to me Unleash the Fire Ministries, which speaks to what is inside each of us, the anointing, the fire that is inside of us. And he just downloaded the whole mission and vision of the entire ministry just in, in my prayer time and meditation on, okay, God, what am I going to do? What's the name that you have for this ministry? And he said, Unleash the Fire, which speaks to, unleashing the anointing that lies within each and every one of us that has been caged up, that has been on lockdown, is bringing that thing to life. And that is Unleash the Fire Ministry.
Amen. As we can see, there is an Israel in all of us, and we want to acknowledge the fact that it's there by heeding the voice of Holy Spirit as he is downloading some things that a lot of us may think, well, I don't have a ministry. That's not something that I look to do or even thought to do. And there are some of you that will be ordained that you don't need a press. You don't need a ministry identification per se. However, what this does, just like when you maybe they don't do it anymore because of snail mail, but you used to get your a name on a sticker that you put on the letter, and you can get different designs, butterfly or scripted writing or whatever, but it was what spoke to you. And so sometimes we need those things always before us to remind us in the natural who we are in the spiritual. So it is a good thing to prepare for that. It's a good thing to hear it, and maybe it can become any of a number of things. Your stationery or your notepad or just any of a number of things that is just a constant reminder, not just to you, but to all of those that you come in contact with. And so we have a lot of people on the line that have done this that have no idea of ministry. We've had others that came through the program and just felt I know I should be doing something. I don't know what it is. This is the time that you're hearing from Holy Spirit as you are consecrated, as you are preparing and giving him your life and surrendering to him those things you have. And so as a result of that, this is why we say get it in a journal. Write it down. You make references to these things that are happening, to the move of the Spirit happening in your life. And you want to document it in a very tangible way so that it's always before us, always before us. We have Bishop on the line to share as it relates to investing in yourself, taking the time, because sometimes we just get too busy doing things that are not eternal. They're just busy work, even though they may be religiously fueled. They're not eternally substantial. It is not what Holy Spirit would have us do. And so we just want to be mindful of that. Bishop?
Yes, ma'am. You hear me?
Yes, sir. I hear you.
You hear me?
All right.
Well, good evening. Good evening, everybody. When we're talking about the concept of spiritually investing in yourself, one of the most important things is to always step back and remember why you do what you do. And so it's understanding the call and understanding why you have been chosen for ministry. And then understanding who you ministry with. The biblical example that you see is the first time Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments. You know, God handwrites it himself, carves it out, pulls it, gives it to Moses. He goes back down. The children of Israel put in. He destroys those tablets, Moses. The second time Moses goes back up the mountain, and he had to carve. And as he carved the rocks out, then you find God writing. So you see them doing the work jointly. And so the first important lesson that everybody to take when you are spiritually investing yourself is remembering why God has called you and understanding that the purpose that he has called you is much bigger than what we think. One of the other lessons we have to begin to learn is that once we have accepted the mission, the call, and even salvation, that we have been translated out of darkness into marvelous light. And therefore, the mission comes that we are now ambassadors. And as a result of that, our reliance has to be totally on God. And sometimes we can easily get distracted, you know, by thinking that these things are eternal. And sometimes they're really temporary. I was talking with Father earlier today, and there's a concept in a scripture that I was familiar with, but he brought another perspective to the table that I just never thought about. And it's a scripture that says that the children are loans to us. And so I understood that scripture to understand that my son, that God has given them to me to be stewards over them. They're not mine. I have to give them back to the Father. And so, you know, because he is going to collect. But the revelation he brought that I didn't think about it, when he said children are loaned to us, that also includes my wife. And I didn't think about that my wife is also alone to me, and I am alone to her, and, you know, family is alone to me, and thus we have to take that time in investing what God wants us to invest within the people or those around us that he has loaned to us. And so when you are spiritually investing in yourself, you are learning about God. The goal is to grow in the knowledge of who God is, and everyday circumstances and situations presents those opportunities, not so that you can just be successful in life, but that you can learn to trust God and your faith can increase even more your situation. The wrestling is being able to pull out of darkness the marvelous light, to be able to walk through darkness with no fear, being able to sift through darkness so that you can find God and pull that element out to extinction. I think the Bible in Isaiah the 5 gives that suggestion about treasures in the darkness, and therefore we have to keep both that in mind. So you spiritually invest in yourself. You take care of yourself. And spiritually, that means you take care of spirit and take care of your soul. That also means you take care of your body. You know, we're not exempt to the things that occur in this world. And therefore, you know, if it's walking every day, then do that. If it's taking 5 minutes to sit in the park and enjoy the breeze, do that. If it's taking 5 minutes, taking time to spend with your family, investing in their lives to make sure that they are on the track that God has called them to be, then you do that. You know, it's reading your word. It's, you know, not taking it for granted. It's like I'll get a scripture on Saturday, or you know, I'll scroll through Facebook. I know somebody put a scripture up, and that'll be my Bible study for the week. No, it's being able to sit down in your study. It's living a fasted lifestyle, whereas every moment you are praying without ceasing and you are learning the more of God. That's what Jesus said, nevertheless, let thy will be done. Never settling for less, but always the more of God. But yet that investment starts with the talent that God has given you. For some it's 5, for some it's 2, and for some it's 1. Whatever he has given you, you have a responsibility to invest that back. And whatever gift, talents you have a responsibility to invest that. So if it's the one scripture, study it, explore it thoroughly, get all the revelation. You will come to find out that you still don't have all the revelations of just that one scripture, because that's how deep God is. And yet, the deep call to the deep is, he gives us an opportunity to explore that vastness, wealthiness, the richness that just surpasses anything that we can understand. And that's that investment. It's getting to a place that you forsake that right to exist, to live, and you recognize that there's a bigger picture and there's generations that we have not yet seen, and yet we have a responsibility to impart. Even now, so that when you are dead and gone, your works will be remembered here on earth. They may not remember your name, but heaven will remember and establish what you have done today.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Prophet, Bishop. And this question is going out to the prophet. The prophet, the apostle, has asked, is there an Isaac in everyone?
That's from the prophet.
Is there Israel in everyone? And I know the prophet is on the line. And
cool.
Oh, go ahead, Bishop. You could definitely take that one there.
I wasn't sure who's supposed to answer this.
Hey, don't
tell
me.
Okay. We want to, in people's heart, they may be thinking, well, you know, I don't think I got that going on here. Okay. So is there Israel in everyone?
I definitely believe that there is an Israel. Well, let me say it this way. If you are on this line, then I am going to say there's an Israel inside of you. And I think that part of this
process is that. Israel definitely looks different in everyone, but if you are on this line, then I'm going to make a prophetic boldness and say, yes, for you, there is a Israel inside of you. That Israel looks like this process for many of us. And then that may change again because we are ever growing. If you listen to Wednesday Blog Talk and relational revelation, so God is always revealing himself in us and through us as he has continued to bring us to that next place. So I would definitely say if you are part of this process and you are on the line, then yes, there is a Israel inside of you.
And amen. Thank you, Prophet.
Yes.
Can I? No, now I was going to. There's definitely an Israel inside of us, and yet God presents all of these opportunities for the Israel to come out. One thing we must be prepared for is that our perception of what Israel looks like may not be the perception of what God has for the Israel to come out. Because after Israel wrestled with God, with the man, and won, he left that battle with a limp, and therefore stricken to a cane for the remainder of his life. And so, you know, I think it's just important to be open to what God's interpretation of Israel looks like.
Amen. Now, and we brought that question up because these are the kinds of questions that Apostle will be presenting to the class during your examination. They're those kinds of thought-provoking questions that at first you may have an answer, but then when you think about it, you know, the Holy Spirit will give you more insight. And so we're going to stir you up each week with a question from the Apostle. And as she asks these questions, we just want you to get comfortable in coming up with your response to them. So we gave this to the bishop and to the prophet, but next week we will give her question to someone else. And so we're going to share some of the questions that are asked, have been asked in the past during the ordination period. Just so you get a little insight as to what to expect, because oftentimes the unknown causes more anxiety than necessary. When you know, then it's exposed, and you get the preparation for it. And so these are some of the things that we just want to expose you to, and we pray that you're doing your consecration and that it is making a difference for you. So we have about 2 minutes. So one person that wants to share about the consecration, pick any day or heart or precept that you like, and you have 1 minute. And that's how you get extra credit, too. Okay. All right, then prayerfully, you will be prepared next week, and maybe I'll just have to call on individual. Yes.
Can you repeat your question again?
Yes. In the in your consecration, you are to make reflections daily on the different precepts, the 33 precepts from the Sermon on the Mount, and I was asking, did anybody want to share for 1 minute, a reflection?
I can share. This is Minister Cynthia Miles. I don't mind.
Sorry, too.
Is there any particular precept you want to hear about?
No.
Or any particular day?
For you.
Okay. I'll cover today. Mercy has been in my prayers. And so
looking at the reflection on it, what my notes were mercy is not like a cloak to be worn, yet an attribute of the character of God within that matures during my lifetime in Christ. My choice is to surrender to the vulnerability of having a merciful heart, denying the pride that would thwart mercy flowing from my heart. I must be aware of the enemy of mercy in building a biblical defense that I am committed and submitted to for mercy to flow freely from my heart. So my declaration was, Father, I declare that I have a merciful heart that becomes more evident in my actions and life. I trust you to cover and guard my heart and develop my life that I may give you glory in everything. I thank you for the reward for having a merciful heart that shows mercy, for I receive the mercy you and others give to me. Thank you for loving me and causing me to be what you had in mind. In Jesus' name, amen. And that was my reflection.
Hallelujah. 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 Who was speaking?
Minister Cece Miles.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Texas. Yes,
I was going to say, and on that declaration, okay, we will allow one of the men of God to close us out in prayer. Thank you so much. That was very powerful. Very powerful.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. Bishop or prophet?
Amen. I could definitely close us out. Overseer, can I steal 30 seconds real quick?
Absolutely.
I just wanted to add, I think as we were just talking about ministry identity, I wanted to throw out there that, you know, the world sort of say is very big on branding, but, you know, our God has definitely made a significant. He is the greatest brander ever, if that's a word. If you think of the Son, he made a mark. It's not the case. And so I did want to encourage us to really take a spirit of excellence and seek how, you know, God would like to identify, you know, our individual ministries. When you think of a yellow M, you automatically know it's McDonald's. And at this point, anything green, Starbucks own. And if you see an apple, you automatically see Steve Jobs and an iPhone. And so the world is very big on branding, and it is marketable, and it makes that kind of impression. And I think sometimes we can either have a false sense of humility, like, oh, it don't really take all of that. But, you know, let your light so shine. And that's what the Bible says. Yeah. And so part of, I believe, that prophetic letting our light shine is asking God on how to brand ourselves and how to make his name known through the individual ministry that is within us. And so I would continue to encourage us, you know, as a whole. And in the world, they look at it, sometimes they rebrand. And you notice McDonald's has got a new face now when you walk in. And so really just being sensitive as you grow in the grace of who God has called and anointed you to be, as he takes you to higher heights and deeper depths, understanding what that looks like. So I definitely encourage us to really seek the face of God as it relates to what is your brand through me? What is the colors? How they're significant? What does that look like? And as you move forth, you would then give him an identity, and people will be drawn often to that brand only to find out who's the King of Kings and who's governing. And it was you know, Christ. So, I want to throw that in there, and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being an awesome and wonderful God. You are excellent in everything that you do. We thank you for this journey. We are excited about our individual process and our process together as a body and as a unit. Mm-hmm. We celebrate the good work that you have started in our lives. And according to the scripture, you will not stop in mid-design, but you will continue to continue to work that work in us until the day that Christ come back. Thank you for those who didn't just give you a process yes, they gave you an eternal yes. And I pray that they will ever, forever grow and become the Israel that has always been that's inside of them. And I pray that the wrestling will never offend them. They will understand it's part of the process of becoming all that you created them to be. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Enjoy the ministry.
Amen.
Good night.